It should be 98%.
First of all, I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
That my friend Andy's going to be there, and I'll probably have this hat.
Yeah.
That helps. That's a couple percentage points.
No, for sure. So right there. Maybe that gets it to 81.
And this is the Homerist show that I do. Right. There's going to be weather.
How so?
It's going to be 32 freezing, degrees, and there's some precip. Ohio State basically hasn't played in that.
Oh, no. I didn't know about precip.
Going to be some precip. I was looking at point differentials. Saturday. You know, all the offense, you know, how many points for, how many points against. Toledo is 8th in the country in point differential.
Oh, yeah.
They have the most points in the MAC, and they've given up the fewest points in the MAC.
Oh, yeah. They're number two total defense, lead the MAC in every offensive category pretty much, and they have like a plus 161, I think it's plus 161 point differential. Statistical freak show in MAC history.
Yeah. Oh, is that the segue to do the intro? Speaking of freak shows, or do I take that one?
I'm the freak show.
Okay. You know, with this hat, we're about the same height finally, right?
I know. That's awesome.
This billboard style hat.
Yeah.
At least so that people can see my face.
I was trying to, what are all the pins from?
Well, we've got a little combination of, you know, real world football stuff, Buckeye helmet, OHIO. and then this is a Fiesta Bowl Brutus here, and his little hat. He's got a little sombrero and
it's awesome.
Incredible. And then No Guts, No Glory, problem from the skiing and beach community. And then Ohio State has given me these each year for my outstanding performance. You can't be given Buckeye leaves. You only earn them. So I just want you to know these are official.
I love it.
I earned those.
I feel like you have to be like at least like an 85-year-old usher at Ohio Stadium to be wearing pins on your cap.
You have to
either be a kid or 85 or older.
Those are both parts of my personality. And when I wear this hat in the stadium, all the ushers are like, nice.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, that's what era is that hat from?
This is your classic 80s.
Yeah, I was going to say
70s,
80s.
Right at the dawn of the John Cooper era, I
think,
would be this, when they had the dangling Buckeye leaf,
right,
which they got rid of in the modern Ohio State logo, which is a mistake.
That's a huge
mistake. So, welcome to the rivalry edition of the Heart of the Rivalry. He's Blade columnist Dave Briggs. I am just Ohio State homer, and Blade photographer Phil Kaplan would try to keep it partial, or at least he will, for this. What is the number? What is this meaning of the game?
The 100th game was in 2003, so this would be if Harbaugh hadn't played the COVID card and called off the 2020 game, so we got 121 or 122.
The
221, whatever it
takes. The 121st or 122nd edition of the game is, of course, brought to you by Renewal by Anderson and Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee. The window replacement experts at Renewal by Anderson are backed by over 120 years of quality and craftsmanship. From consultation to installation, Renewal by Anderson makes upgrading your home easy, beautiful, and worry-free. And Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee, whether you're looking for a table for the whole family or just a bar stool to catch the game, Dale's has you covered with a full menu of sandwiches, wraps, and salads. Combine that with 21 beers on tap, and there's something everyone can enjoy. Other than the weather, what are you looking forward to enjoying the most about this edition of the game?
I'm fascinated. I think it means everything for both teams. And I'd be curious to know, who do you think needs it more? Ohio State does not need it at all in the big playoff picture. Michigan absolutely needs it to get in. If they beat number one team in the country, that might be the best win anyone has all year. They'll be 10-2. They'll be in the playoff. Ohio State will still, they'll be 11-1. They'll be able to go off on their title race, play the us against the world, rally around the Buckeye flag, go off on a run. They still might be the most talented team in the country. But you've lost 4 straight years to Michigan. The rivalry's as heated as ever. You had the flag planting last year. Who needs it more? Ohio State for the pride and just quality of life for Ryan Day and the mental health of the fan base, or Michigan, who literally needs it to get to the playoff? I don't think by any logic, by any reason, you would say Michigan needs it more. I'm not sure that's the case.
On paper, right? In terms of we need this for our season to keep going.
Yeah.
But like psychologically,
yeah.
psychologically, this could be the biggest win for the Wolverines against the Buckeyes in our lifetime.
Yeah, since last year.
Last year's, I mean, that was wild, but it fueled a championship run.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Ryan Day, though the fans have been largely unfair to him and his family, I think he also had to look and be like, you know, what we did there wasn't great.
Yeah.
I think he's running the team a little bit differently this year. So,
I also think it's interesting. What do you think about Ryan Day kind of trying to make this as routine of a game as possible? They've tried to...
The Jason Candle approach?
Well, you know, there's just a lot of... They're trying to make it... Over the years, there have been Michigan Week traditions. They've had senior tackle ceremony the week of the Michigan game. They've had the marching band come in on Sunday of Michigan Week and play for the team, and that's been a tradition for a long time. A lot of different things. Even something as kind of inside baseball as they usually do all of their media on Monday. It's a totally different week media-wise. They just want to focus completely on the game. The last couple of years, it's been different. Ryan Day moved the senior tackle ceremony to another week. This year, he moved the band thing to another week. This year, they're keeping media obligations the same. So even though it's Thanksgiving week, they're going to have post-practice interviews on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
I've heard rumors they might even be flying up to Michigan this year instead of the normal bus trip, just to try to make it as normal as possible. And
that's
I don't know
do it,
when
I fly up there.
Right. No, absolutely. Well, who knows? But it kind of goes back to the John Cooper feeling, who you tried everything. And then it's, you kind of almost as a defense mechanism, you say, well, this is just another game. Let's do what we've done all year. Whereas Jim Tressel and Urban Meyer said, no, this is not, we're putting everything into it. This is the, everything's different about this week, and we're going to use that to our advantage. So I don't know what the answer is. If you do well, you're a genius. If you don't, it's completely in your head, and you have no idea what you're doing. So we'll see.
It's kind of a lose-lose for the Buckeyes. If they go out there and win, well, you were supposed to. If they go out there and lose, it is a disaster.
I disagree with that. It's not a lose-lose. If you beat Michigan, that's an incredible win. And it's a huge,
but you're
huge,
supposed to.
Right. But nobody, it'll be a huge weight off their shoulders. They'll have the upper hand.
They'll
be the defending national champions. Everything will be well in Buckeyes land. It's crazy to think Ohio State's just one of those jobs, but they are defending national champions, 11-0, and in the completely insane world that is the Ohio State ecosystem, they are one loss to Michigan away from Ryan Day having to call that security company to come back to his house on Saturday night. It's completely unhinged, and I'm not saying anything would happen, but that's the mindset. Oh, well.
Well, no game means more this year, and no game could have meant less than the Ohio State-Rutgers game. And usually you at least take the night, and you say, then we're on to Cincinnati or whatever.
The Scarlet Night.
But in the post-game interview, Ryan, they were like, on to Michigan. Yeah. And he's like, we're playing for hardware now. So something matters. They're keeping some of the stuff alive, and it's on his mind. So I think you can do that stuff to achieve normalcy, but like, it matters more.
Right.
You can't avoid that.
Oh, yeah.
You just cannot.
Again, it's just one of those things where if they win, it'll be a brilliant stroke of genius to kind of change it up a little bit. And if they lose, it's, oh my God, you guys are such losers. They're so in your head.
Okay, so Jerry's and Joe's, we think Ohio State has the advantage. We saw that if you do some dumb stuff with X's and O's, you can give up your advantage. What goes right for Michigan if they win this game? What do they do?
Well, I mean, they run the ball well. They're going to lean into their identity. Maybe Bryce Underwood, promising freshman quarterback, who's obviously be very uneven. He does not make any mistakes. Makes a couple big plays, plays within a conservative game plan, and Ohio State beats itself. I mean, as you said, the Jimmies, the Jerrys, the Joes. Ohio State's going to have the big advantage. We don't know if I do think it'll be interesting. It's a huge point to watch with the status of Ohio State's receivers, Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith, the two best receivers in the country. I think Jeremiah Smith will definitely play. I think he will definitely play. That's a little, I think he will play.
Think definitely.
I think definitely maybe. Carnell Tate is, I have no idea. They've just been very vague about that. And I would be, if I had to just a total hunch, I bet Jeremiah Smith plays and is 100% close to it. I bet Carnell Tate does not, if I'm guessing.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to hunch against your hunch.
Okay.
My hunch is that he plays.
Okay.
My hunch is that at some point he's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This is my
last.
This is
the Michigan game. Yeah. No, for sure.
Okay. So we've got two hedged hunches.
Okay. So
that's
we got
pretty good.
But even without Carnell Tate, you have the four best players on the field.
Yeah.
Julian Sain, Jeremiah Smith, and then the two just absolute game-wrecking defensive players with Carnell Tate and Caleb Downs and Arvell Reese. Yeah, leading the top-ranked defense in America. It's hard to imagine Michigan scoring more than 17 points. It's just Ohio State getting to that 21, 24, 27-point mark. They should, but as you mentioned earlier, going to have wind chill in the 20s, a little precipitation. The California kid at quarterback for Ohio State, who knows? We'll see. I mean, if you have one receiver out and the offense looks a little stilted early, does Ryan Day kind of tighten up and revert back to just trying to pound it between the tackles and getting in a tough guy match against Michigan?
Ugh.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's so much about the early momentum. Ohio State could get up 14-0 early and win by 35, would not surprise me. They could just kind of get into a weird physical grinding game early, and it's an absolute bare-knuckle fight the entire game. So
I'm
fascinated.
I'm here to tell you that win or lose, I think Michigan scores 17 points.
Okay.
They're either losing by 14, scoring 17, you know, the 31-17.
Yeah.
Or they're winning 17-16, 17-10.
And I can see it.
That is only going to happen if the weather plays a huge factor. Sain tightens up, and then, as you said, Day follows that tightening up.
Yeah.
Because our run game is not super dominant. Now, there we got a lot of practice against
250
Rutgers,
yards.
But as Rutgers.
I know. Worst run defense in America.
And Michigan's strength remains their interior of their defense.
Sure.
Ohio State's got a great defense, but it's not the defensive line that is the strongest part. So Michigan's strength, that running game, it could dent.
Yeah.
It could break the skin.
Right.
Could cause a serious infection.
Absolutely. They could, yeah. I would not be surprised at all if Michigan gets the ball first, drives down the field, and then it's just absolute go time and gut check time. We'll see what Ohio State's made of. I'm fascinated.
Have you – how many Ohio State-Michigan games have you gone to?
Oh, probably 13, 15, 16, 17.
So you've been to many in the Big House.
Oh, sure.
What do you like about seeing the game in the Big House?
I don't know. I mean, I just like seeing, they're both just such classic settings. I think Ohio State has a little bit more of the hostile, fringy edge where there's just
Coliseum
that, yeah,
intimidation.
Yeah. It never gets old standing on the field at Ohio Stadium and just looking up at this massive Scarlet Canyon. It's just visually intimidating in a way Michigan Stadium's not. But both are classic settings. Ohio State can get louder. I love that it'll be a gray day, maybe with flurries like a couple years ago.
It's what
it just kind of
be.
Feels straight out of like a Currier and Ives, like a Rockwell painting. I mean, that's kind of what the ghosts of Woody and Bo. It just feels like that's how it should be. I don't know. They're two. I think it's Ohio Stadium's just a cooler architectural setting and just a slightly cooler place. But Michigan Stadium, I mean, it's the.
That big
it's,
bowl
yeah,
dug
it's,
in a little
it's
bit.
Awesome.
And the
I
brick.
Mean, it's right.
It's kind of cool.
Just the walking up to Michigan Stadium, it's always just crazy. Cause I mean, you go before they put the suites on, that kind of built the stadium up a little bit on both sides. But Michigan Stadium's only about like 12 or 13 feet.
It's a little hidden
off of the ground. It looks like you're walking into a almost like a high school stadium and from some angles. And then you walk in and see it dug into the ground and it's like, oh my God. And then once 110,000 people fill in and this just sea of humanity, it's a scene that every college football and every Ohio State fan should experience. And you will be there.
I will be
in
there.
Where are you sitting, by the way? There's not a bad seat in the house. That's the one great thing about Michigan.
We got about like 20-yard line.
Okay.
I'm not sure what side I'm on. And I'm not sure if I'm in an Ohio State contingent or, you know, if we'll be the lone red shirts in a sea of of yellow. But it is my friend and Ohio State graduates' first ever Ohio State Michigan game, which seems unfathomable to me.
An Ohio State graduate?
A graduate.
They didn't go when they were school? When they were in school?
That's what he said. I was like, how did you manage to do that? Anyway, he's coming in from Arizona.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to hosting him.
Who's going to adjust better to the cold weather, or Julian Sam?
He thinks that he's going to be the good luck charm.
Okay.
I'm going to give him credit for that because we need something.
Yeah, no, for sure. Just like Ryan Day said, I mean, you got to change things up.
I am worried about Julian. As you said, everything about this game is more fascinating. It's all heightened up a little bit. But I am like, Julian Sam has had nothing but, you talk about it, should be a gray day. He's had nothing but sunshine skies, no adversity. The weather's been great. He's had plenty of time.
Yeah.
And I think for the first time, he's going to be rushed and he's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, I agree. And speaking of Ryan Day wanting to make everything normal, are you a little worried that since you don't go to the Michigan game every year and your buddy doesn't go to the Michigan game every year, that's kind of veering from the goal of making this as routine a week as possible for
Ohio
State?
This is two in a row for me, so I'm doing my part.
Okay.
I'm standardizing.
Okay. But you guys need to start going every year now.
My dad's not going, though. That, you talk about a difference in preparation.
Okay.
This game will not have in attendance my father for the first time in...
Yeah.
Before John Cooper.
Sure.
We're back to the Earl Bruce talk. Okay. Favorite Earl Bruce moments. Go. No, I'm just kidding.
1987.
Do you want to do this quote thing?
Sure.
Okay. So which one do you want to start with? So this is a new segment that we're calling
We're calling
Dave's Deep Dive Quotes of the Week.
These are just all-time Michigan quotes, right?
Yeah, it's a deep dive.
Yeah.
Dave's deep
dive. What's your favorite ones? You got to start.
I don't do that. I'm prompting you. You're the expert. I'm just a bumpkin wearing an oversized sweatshirt and a billboard hat.
It's got to be the trash talk, so. It's got to be, On the Michigan side, you have the Harbaugh guarantee, obviously, in the 80s. Then he goes out and backs it up.
And, so take us through it.
And now Ohio State, you have the Jeremiah Smith guarantee, at least indirectly. And that's why I think he's definitely going to play. Also,
you
Saturday,
can't make a guarantee and not play.
Right. And then Saturday is Jeremiah Smith's birthday as well.
Oh, my God. He's 100% playing.
I know. He said over the summer, he told The Athletic about Michigan, I just hate them. Just something about them. For the next 2 years, I promise you, I will not lose to them. I can't lose to them the next 2 years. Does that sound like a man who's about to lose to Michigan?
But if
they're not going to throw it to him didn't last year, what's he going to do?
He'll be madder than AJ Brown.
So I like the guarantees. I also like the sportsmanship. You look at the quotes over the years. I believe it was, speaking of Earl Bruce, in 1987, his final game after he had been fired earlier in the week, Ohio State wears the Earl headbands. Ohio State upsets Michigan. And afterward, Bo Schembechler, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, I never like losing to Ohio State, but it's a little easier to deal with today just because he was friends with Earl Bruce and the mutual respect there. So sometimes the rivalry does have some grace and class. And even last year with the fight and the pepper spray, I mean, not everybody threw punches. So that was good sportsmanship.
Are we calling that grace or which is last year's grace or class? Which is the flag planting pepper spray?
Yeah, that was more grace.
You know what though, Dave? Every now and then there needs to be a reinvigoration.
Yeah.
And that sometimes isn't pretty, but I would say that that's a reinvigoration. Ohio State, remember, like we thought they were going to backpedal asleep to a victory in that game.
Yep. And I will say I criticized it at the time. Just it kind of felt like a loser move for Ohio State to go out and fight Michigan for planting the flag. It's like you just lost them for a fourth straight year. This time is a 20.5-point favorite. How about doing your fighting on the field? But then we saw that kind of did become a literally a rally around the flag moment. And they kind of used that just edge to do what they did next. So
Perspective changed a little bit. Teams are different, but that theirs felt like carryover.
Would it be weak sauce if Ohio State planted a flag at midfield this year? Or
yes.
Would it be even weaker sauce if they went in with like a 17-0 halftime lead and planted a flag at midfield?
At halftime? Now you've got my attention. The halftime, the flag plant before going into half, you are going to get a second half for the ages.
That would be even better than Ruth calling his shot. If you come out before the game, plant the flag at midfield, get in a brawl, and then go out and win.
68-0
On the flip side.
The last time, you know, you said, we've debated a little bit, like, I'm sort of, you know, I've got some bias of the moment going on. But I was like, man, this team is so good. They're just taking care of their opponents. And you were always saying, you know, 2019, I think, is the best team. And that was the year that they kind of dismantled Michigan.
Yeah.
Like, I was not expecting them to put up a 50-burger on that Michigan team. So
I was just thinking about that. It was a similar deal, too. Ohio State number one, or I don't know if they were number one or LSU was number one at the time, but Michigan's in the mid-teens, probably 16 or 17, 9-2, and Ohio State just absolutely goes up there and takes care of business. And that's kind of the result, I would think, if Ohio State, if they were playing this game on paper, or if you put Michigan's exact roster in any other team's uniforms, it would just kind of be like Ohio State playing at Washington or a team like this. And I give Michigan a little bit of credit here. I mean, they're better than...
Sure. I know what you mean, though. It's the laundry. And if you're one of those kids...
I mean, it's absolutely played in the head, this game, and never more than right now.
You can't... And I think Ryan Day tries to do this for his players, but he's got to do it, too. You cannot play the ghosts. You can't go out there trying to play ghosts. You have to play just the team.
Right.
The guys in front of you, and that's it. And let, you know...
Right.
Guys like us, the talking heads.
And it starts at the top.
Sit there and analyze it.
And it starts at the top. Nobody was playing the ghosts more than Ohio State's coaches last year.
Yeah.
We've heard it for 25. We hear it ad nauseum, and nobody likes to say it more than Urban Meyer. The team that wins the rushing battle traditionally wins the game. And that's clearly what Ohio State was trying to do last year. And that's not – if they're going to win this year, it doesn't matter. Yeah, you want to be balanced, but Ohio State has – a Heisman contender, a quarterback, some of the best receivers in the country, great tight end. Use your advantage. You have the advantage through the air. It might be mitigated a little bit with the weather, but this isn't 1975 anymore. If you can hammer them through the air, do it.
If there's precip and it's cold, that's fine. If there's wind, we'll be in trouble. But if there's no wind, then throw the ball.
Sure.
Throw it up to number four. He's down there.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll do everybody's favorite. We'll predict some scores. We'll talk about Toledo and BG a little bit. Toledo's still trying to position itself to win the MAC. BG going out against UMass. You like to think that they're going to get a win.
No, yeah. They're 17-point favorites.
We're going to get into some scores.
For the other big Ohio-Michigan showdown this weekend?
We're going to have some predictions, okay? That stuff is, of course, brought to you by Renewal by Anderson and Dale's Bar and Grill in Maumee. Dale's in historic Uptown Maumee. Catch all the college football action as well as the NFL at Dale's, one of the premier Buckeye bars in Northwest Ohio. Wolverines, welcome. I'm sure there'll be a contingent of maize and blue and scarlet and gray, as there is all over Toledo. Really is what makes Toledo, I think, a cool sports town for this particular
absolutely league. Hence the heart of the rivalry.
Heart of the rivalry, also brought to you by Renewal by Anderson. If you're ready to transform your home with Renewal by Anderson, buy one window or door, get another 40% off, but only through the end of the year. Schedule your free consultation today at renewalbyanderson.com. Before we do scores, this is my annual PSA. This is my annual grind my gears PSA. The Ohio State-Michigan game should not be the same week as Thanksgiving. I don't care. Figure it out.
It didn't used to be.
It didn't.
Yeah.
Get them. Get. They should be separate things. It's too much for families in this region.
Yeah.
That like said, yeah. You want to start? Do you want to start with Bowling Green wrapping up their season against UMass?
Sure. This is the game we didn't know we needed. BG at UMass, 4:30 p.m. on ESPNU. A little Tuesday afternoon football. BG is a 17-point favorite over the last winless FBS team. UMass remains a total disaster. Their FBS football experiment that they started in 2012 still remains a total failure. BG gets off the schneid here and should take care of business going into the offseason. I don't think they cover.
Okay.
I think I'll say 27 to 14.
I love it. Now, the mass of humanity, not the UMass of humanity, the mass of humanity above the top of the MAC.
Yep.
So let's say Toledo does what it needs to do. We need an Eastern Michigan victory.
No. You need, ideally, you'd want Western Michigan. just to quickly go through, if all the favorites win, you have Western Michigan. Western Michigan winning at Eastern Michigan, so they finish at 7-1. And if all the favorites among Ohio, Miami, and Toledo win, you have the three-team tie for second place at 6-2. And for God knows why, Miami, despite losing to Ohio and getting throttled by Toledo, so losing to the other two teams in the tiebreaker, they would win the tiebreaker.
That seems against the spirit of football,
Dave. It does. Let's decide it on the field.
That's not football.
So you want Toledo just needs either Miami to lose or Ohio to lose at Buffalo, because they would win the head-to-head two-team tiebreaker against either Ohio or Miami. So, and that's the good news for Toledo. You know, chalk never survives a full week of action. So something crazy will happen, and Toledo knows that for good and bad. I mean, yeah. Toledo could easily lose at Central Michigan. I mean, they've been a disaster. Toledo's been a disaster on the road this year.
Yeah. 6-0 at the Glass Bowl.
1-4 on the road. Yeah. I think Toledo gets it done. They're a better team than Central Michigan, but who knows?
The most Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde team.
Oh, yeah.
Really sure. Two different teams. Yeah. Okay. Ohio State, Michigan.
I've not thought about my score prediction, but I'll just say like 30 to 16. I think one of these years, Ohio State just has to get it together, play to their talent, and do what they're supposed to do. Why not this year? I think Jeremiah Smith will play, even without Carnell Tate, just a guess. I think they'll be able to move the ball, even with the dubious weather. Defense is too good to allow Michigan to really get in any sort of rhythm. 30-16.
What? And now I want
followed by a flag plant.
I want you to predict what I'm going to predict.
Okay, your prediction I think is going to be
homerific, super homer.
What are you predicting with the weather?
I think there's going to be no wind, but I think it's going to be cold and gray.
Okay,
and I think there might be a little precip.
The Bears. Okay, in that case, snow. I think 52-7.
Okay, 38-3. Okay, you heard it here first, folks. Come on. We're due to blow the doors off. You can tell he's been keeping the Ferrari in fourth gear. Like, there's been plays like that you can just tell, like, okay, are we going to see that? Are we going to see that? And I just don't think it's possible they can come up there and repeat the the sphincter closing kind of performance that they did last year. I don't think that kind of lightning is going to strike twice.
I was just laughing. I mean, it is crazy. Ohio State last year had Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, and Emeka Ebuka as their receivers and scored 10 points. I do think...
You have to throw it to him,
Dave. I do think Will Howard's... Maybe concussion early in the game played a big role in that game.
That's right.
I did ask Will Howard over the summer or before the event in Toledo that he came up here for the golf tournament. I asked him, by the way, were you okay after that hit? Did you have a concussion? And he said, I probably shouldn't answer that one. So I'm like, okay, enough said.
So, yeah, give me the helmet. All right, man. He's Dave Briggs. I'm Phil Kaplan. This is the heartiest heart of the rivalry you get. This is the big Ohio State-Michigan show. Look for me. I'll be the guy in the big red hat.
All right. I'll see you.
See you, Dave.